Welcome to the Vanderbilt University Center for Teaching podcast, part of the center's efforts to cultivate dialogue about university teaching and learning among faculty, students, and staff. I'm your host, Derek Bruff, an assistant director here at the Center for Teaching. In this episode, we feature excerpts from an interview with Michael Bess, Chancellor's Professor of History here at Vanderbilt. In this interview, Michael describes his use of Wikipedia, the online encyclopedia that anyone can edit, to help undergraduate history majors learn how to think and reason like historians.
The common wisdom about the way Wikipedia is seen in academia today is that the professors hate it and the students love it. And the students love it because ostensibly they can just go to Wikipedia, get the sort of quick and dirty on any subject that they want. But professors hate it because they believe that students don't understand that it's not just the quick and dirty. They think it's as reliable or as comprehensive as Encyclopedia Britannica. And they see it as one more instance in which modern communications technology is allowing students to circumvent the difficult, time-consuming process of assembling and triaging and sifting through large amounts of information with a critical eye and reaching their own independent conclusions after kind of chewing through it, a laborious process. Basically, this all strikes many professors as being way too easy in the sense that we wouldn't have accepted, even before Wikipedia, an encyclopedia article as the sole source for a history paper, for example. We would say, no, you need to go and at least look at a bunch of secondary sources, and depending on the course, we would also insist on primary sources, meaning sources that are not just written by history professors, but sources that come from whatever it is that you're studying. If you're studying World War II, it should be people who lived through World War II or were there, and so forth. So that's the background to my interest in Wikipedia, was an awareness that students were using it. I myself use it when I need a quick and dirty background on something or other. You know, the other day, a student brought up the Treaty of Westphalia, and I wanted to kind of refresh my memory about the terms and what this was about, and so I Wikipedia'd it, and it gave me what I needed to know. At least I felt satisfied. So I tend not to see it with quite such a jaundiced eye, but I also would not accept a paper based solely on any encyclopedia article, including Wikipedia. So that's the broader, the background context for sort of attitudes toward Wikipedia in academia. In the history department, about 7 or 8 years ago, we created a new course called History 200, which is the foundation course for the history major and is required of all history majors. And the idea is to introduce undergraduates to all the different varieties of history writing that has been done, from Thucydides all the way up to the present day. So different types of history writing, but also to the logic, the methods that historians use in interrogating the past and writing the books that they produce. How do we interpret the past? What types of questions do we ask? How do we frame those questions? What are the assumptions we use? It's like any academic discipline. We have our rather elaborate epistemology and methodology behind what we do. And students often come into history with a rather naive thinking that there's a straightforward account of events, facts, and history is the accurate narration of those facts. And much of what we do in History 200 is to sort of try to get beyond that naive, epistemologically naive perspective to an understanding of the problematic nature of facts, and especially the problematic nature of interpretations, that there can be facts. You know, World War II ended in 1945. That's a fact. We can prove it. But when you start to say, why did it end in 1945 and not in 1944 or 1946, how did it end and what were the forces that caused it to end, you're moving into the domain of interpretation. inevitably you're going to get disagreements, controversy, and the result is we're moving into a completely different level of complexity. This is the goal of History 200, is to introduce brand new history majors to this issue. It takes usually half a semester to sort of get going with this. So I decided to use Wikipedia, sort of, if you can't beat them, join them. I decided that I was going to use Wikipedia as an object of study for my History 200 class, which I had never taught before. I was teaching it for the first time. One of the things that we discover is, from talking to my colleagues, but also just from trying to raise these kinds of epistemological questions in my own other courses, is that many times students find this very tedious. They find the methodological issues and philosophical questions, they want to get right to the actual history. They don't want to be spending a lot of time trying to figure out, well, what is objectivity and what is the stance of the observer and how do we, you know, make sure that interpretations are more or less valid. They sort of want to get to the bottom line. They get impatient, frustrated with purely methodological readings. And I decided that an exercise of looking at something, this instrument, Wikipedia, which is now a part of all of our lives, we all more use it more or less, I'm assuming most of us anyway, and problematize it. I decided I would take this given instrument and problematize it and use it as, and by studying it, raise these broader questions, not frontally, but sort of sneak into them, so that students would be involved in asking what were, in fact, epistemological and philosophical and methodological questions, but not just nakedly asking the questions, but rather forced to ask questions that were, in effect, methodological in nature by the material itself. So what I did was I went to very controversial pages in Wikipedia, the articles. I found one in particular that I already knew a lot about, which was the controversy over the decision to drop the atomic bomb on Hiroshima and Nagasaki. And I decided that we would spend the first part of History 200, when I was teaching it, learning a lot about that bombing, the pros, the cons, the reasons, the consequences, the whole nine yards. So we would spend 4 or 5, maybe 6 weeks developing a certain amount of expertise in this question of of the bombing of Hiroshima. And then we would go to Wikipedia and read the article that is entitled "The Decision to Drop the Atomic Bomb on Hiroshima and Nagasaki," because there is a specific page devoted to that. And what you discover when you do that is that Wikipedia is amazing in a lot of different ways. One way that it's amazing is the article itself is far more sophisticated than I would have thought. It was complex, it was nuanced, it did a pretty good job of actually laying out the issues. Where there was unresolvable controversy, the Wikipedia article stated that there was unresolvable controversy. And it turns out that controversial Wikipedia articles have, every Wikipedia article, I suppose, has the option, when you click on a different tab, of pulling up debates that the people who are contributing to the article are having over the sentences in the article. So if there's a part in the article that's making an assertion about something or other, I write that in, it goes into Wikipedia. The next day, somebody else comes in and reads it and says, "I disagree with Bess. And here's why." And they challenge that sentence and put in an edit. All these edits and all of the debates among editors, who are the general public, get archived. And in the case of this decision to drop the atomic bomb article, there were 7 separate archives going back 3 years, ever since that page had first been created, with dense, elaborate, sometimes very angry and vituperative, sometimes very silly, and sometimes very interesting and sophisticated arguments among people in general out there in the world who are wanting to contribute to this article and shape it. So what in fact Wikipedia embodied there between the article and these archives of debates was precisely the kind of epistemological, philosophical, and methodological questions that we historians deal with all the time, that I wanted my students to become familiar with by through the course, except that here it was being presented at face value. The arguments were going back and forth and raging in a very interesting, kind of absorbing way. You feel sort of like a voyeur, you know, watching a married couple have a fight, you know, and you're a spectator. You read through these debates, and all of the criteria that we use to determine the reliability of historical accounts and, you know, the veracity of sources and the comprehensiveness of methods used and the bias or the hiding of certain types of sources, the preference for sort of cherry-picking data to make your own, you know, grinding your own ideological axe. All these questions are brought to the fore by the public participating in Wikipedia. So it's not nearly as off-putting at one level because it's presented, it's a real live debate happening online now. And our students themselves could go in and actually start contributing to that debate if they wanted to. But that was not the assignment. The assignment was simply to work together in studying these archives and discuss them. So that's what we did over several weeks. We discussed the arguments that were going back and forth, and it was all very chaotic because they're presented there in a kind of garbled, you know, it's the messiness of the real world at some level. There is some order and some structure in there, but you have to kind of work with it. So you're getting your hands dirty, but meanwhile you're also really getting into all of these methodological questions. And I and my students found it very exciting and very interesting. I think there wasn't a single methodological issue that was not raised, either explicitly or implicitly, in these debates. And so I felt like after 3 weeks spent studying Wikipedia itself and how it gets created, and this process of debate and counter-debate and back and forth, I felt like we had accomplished one of the main goals of the course by taking, in a sense, the enemy, Wikipedia, and using it as a resource, as an object of study. So the goal, the pedagogical goal in this course is to raise the methodological questions while getting our hands dirty in an actual, like a lab, in a sense. So find some historical controversy that is intrinsically interesting to me and the students, and start letting our exploration of the controversy bring out the complicated, abstract, philosophical questions, but inevitably, just through, well, if this is the case, then what about this, and where do we find that information? And what was so cool about Wikipedia this way is I didn't have to ask leading questions. It's the people right there in those archives, ordinary, you know, people right there writing and participating in these debates who are explicitly saying, well, wait a minute, that's a fallacious argument, okay? Or you're not considering all this other evidence, or your evidence is consistently slanted according to a Marxist bias, or whatever the accusation may be. This inevitably forces the students who are reading through these archives to address those methodological questions, but it's not coming through either the textbook or the professor. It's coming out of this heated debate among, so to speak, civilians. Mm-hmm. And at that level, I think it's just far more engaging and compelling. It's also done in very straightforward language. You're totally, you know, the accusations get very, very heated, and so they're kind of fun to read. You're totally misreading Truman here. You know, you obviously hate Truman because you're neglecting all these other things. And so when it's contentious like that, you read with much greater interest. And then it's a question of, in class discussion, sort of getting ourselves to articulate, well, what's really the abstract version of what's going on? What's at stake in these debates? And that's not too hard to do. You just sort of talk about it a little bit, and it comes out naturally. And so the students then, in a sense, are writing their own methodological textbook as we go through the course by thinking through the issues that are being raised in the Wikipedia archives. So encyclopedia is there to fill a gap of knowledge. If you just need a quick reference, it's great for that purpose. But for writing papers that have any depth, obviously it's a whole different process and a much more laborious and time-consuming one. And as you go through that process, you get educated. You develop, I'm not talking about education in the sense of a mass of knowledge, but rather education in the sense of acquiring new habits of mind, new analytical strategies, new ability to see questions that you wouldn't have seen before, challenge assumptions, look for assumptions that you are making or that other people are making. So it's a whole higher level of meta-analysis that we're shooting for here at the college level. And encyclopedias are pretty much worthless for that, except when you can study them like Wikipedia. You couldn't do that with Britannica. Britannica just presents you with the finished product by one expert. Wikipedia has this magnificent kind of the tip of the iceberg quality where, yeah, you can just look at the tip of the iceberg if you want, but if you so choose, you can actually get down into the boiler room down underneath. I'm mixing metaphors pretty badly here, the boiler room of the iceberg. You can get down into the nitty-gritty underneath at how it was all created. And inevitably, that's going to lead you to the higher level of sophistication, those types of questions that are, in fact, what we're aiming for at the college level. Anytime that there's an element of controversy in an article, it could be in a chemistry article or, you know, what is a planet, you know, in astronomy. I'm sure that if you and I went to the Wikipedia page, what is a planet right now, or looked just up the word planet, I bet that there'd be really rich stuff to get into the methodologies of how astronomers define planets, because there's a lot of debate over that among astronomers themselves. And I'm sure that a lot of the entries are probably outraged astronomers defending various positions one way or the other, and you'd probably be able to learn a lot of the analytical skills that we get, that we need to be good astronomers. So it's not just for history at all.
That was Michael Bess, Chancellor's Professor of History, describing his use of Wikipedia to help undergraduate history majors learn how to think and reason like historians. See the show notes for this podcast for links to Wikipedia, the Wikipedia entry on the atomic bombings of Hiroshima and Nagasaki, and Michael Bess's homepage. You can view the show notes, as well as leave comments or questions about this episode, by visiting blogs.vanderbilt.edu/CFTpodcast. If you've used Wikipedia in your teaching or have ideas for doing so, we encourage you to stop by our website and join the discussion. Vanderbilt instructors are also welcome to call the Center for Teaching at 322-7290 to arrange a meeting with a CFT teaching consultant to discuss ways to use Wikipedia effectively in their teaching. Thanks for listening to the Vanderbilt University Center for Teaching podcast. Please join us for future episodes by visiting the podcast's homepage, blogs.vanderbilt.edu/CFT podcast, or by subscribing to the podcast through iTunes or similar program. I've been your host, Derek Brough.